we know it's written to remind Christians that we have a battle. He tells us to contend for the faith. And what that word contend means is to struggle. And there's something that we need to be working on. Of course, just being a Christian is a struggle for sure. We battle the flesh, the world, the devil, all that's associated with that. But there, for us, the struggle is really coming to contending for the faith. Faith is to knowing what the faith's about. Obviously, it's through Jesus Christ we get saved, and it's through Jesus Christ we live. And it's all by faith. It's not just salvation, but it's the life we live as well. And so Jude is reminding us, of course, those he wrote to as well, he said that in verse 4, there are certain men crept in unawares. He said these folks came in, they were ordained to this condemnation. They were ungodly men. They were turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And he mentioned, gave different metaphors about these men. Forgot to mention, as Jude wrote this, he said something in verse 3. He says, when I gave all diligence, he saw that diligence was important here. The word is the Greek word spoundē, and it means speed. It means, it's the same word we see study, to show thyself approved. That study is the same word, that speed. Or it's translated different words, obviously, but dispatch or eagerness. And he wanted to do this. It was needful for him, he said. That was, if you look that word up in the Greek, it means distressed. Sort of like being an animal stuck in the corner, you know. You don't have a choice. And Jude, in his heart, knew he didn't have a choice. He needed to remind folks of this because he saw what was going on in his day. And the very things that were going on in his day have been multiplied over and over as well today. And we can see it as well. And so he said it was needful. He was compelled to do this. And then he told us to earnestly contend for the faith. And then he called these men, they were certain men, he called them filthy dreamers. In verse 8, he said, these who defile the flesh, despise dominion, speak evil of dignities. He called them brute beast. If you look on down a few verses there. And so here we see in verse 10, so we see that these people, these apostates, and that's who he's talking about, apostates, were coming into the church and trying to deceive the people. And he gave examples. He gave about six different examples here of what they were doing. But then he comes to verse 20, and he changes directions. And all through this, he's telling us about these situations that have gone on. Of course, about Cain, the way of Cain, the heir of Balaam for reward, and of course, the gainsaying of Korah, we shared. And he talked about these folks. But then he comes over in verse 17. He says, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. Again, he's talking about those apostates. And then he changes in verse 20. Let's go ahead and read 20 through 25 tonight. He says, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on the most high holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your words tonight. We thank you for Jude and how you gave him the very words that we are studying tonight to help us to understand even the days that we live in. Back in Jude's day, these same things were going on. And Father, it just reminds us that there is a struggle. We need to contend for the faith. We need to keep digging. We need to keep learning. We need to keep growing. And Father, I pray that you would guide and direct in our lives and help us to know the difference between that which is right and that which is wrong. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So he exhorted them, and then he started out, but ye. I always like that word but because it always takes and turns you right around. Here you're walking one way, you turn, and you're going the opposite direction. And he talks to the Christians here. But ye, beloved. You see, the beloved there is those in the faith, those that know Christ as their Savior. So he's turning back to the saints here. He's already told us that we're to contend for the faith. Now he's telling us that We need to strive to live in this world that we're here. God called us, when we put our faith and trust in Him, it was for salvation. He changed us from sinners into a holy, peculiar people. And He left us here that we might continue to follow Him, to learn about Him, and then also be a witness that others may do as well. And so here we see, He says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." And so in those two verses, really, it's been mentioned that word "keep" is one of the important factors or key words in this. That word "keep" means to guard or watch. That's what it means if you look up the Greek. And so He says in verse 20, He says, building up yourselves on the most holy faith. And I looked up that word "building up," and it's a word that's long and it's Greek, and I'm not going to try to pronounce it, but it means to build upon or to rear up. And if you look in the New Testament, that Greek word is only used 8 times in 7 different verses. It's used in Acts. We're going to look at that in just a second. It's also used in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 4 times. It's used in Colossians, and it's used in Ephesians, and then also in the book of Jude. So He's trying to remind us that we have to do some work as well. Building up yourselves on the most holy faith. And so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. And so that again drives us back to the Bible and finding out what God wants us to do and how He wants us to live. And so we want to build our faith. Let's go ahead and look at Acts, if you would. Acts chapter 20 is the first place we come to. Again, Paul, he's meeting with the Ephesian elders there. And this is a familiar passage, but I'm just going to look at verse 17 through 25. There's a lot more to read, but that's all we're going to go for tonight. In Acts chapter 20, verse 17 says, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you all at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which before me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and ministry, which I have received of the Lord Jesus Christ to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day, and am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God." Where am I supposed to be reading? Oh, verse 32, I'm sorry. "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch, and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God, and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up, and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." So here Paul is just telling them, he says, "I've been with you, I've cried, I've ministered to you, I declared the whole counsel of God to you," and now he's warning them that when he leaves, those ravening wolves will be coming in. So here he tells them in verse 32, which is where we find that same word in Jude that talks about building, he says, "And now, brother, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up." The word of his grace, through God, is able to build us up. And that's what he's trying to encourage us, to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified, set apart. And so he is really trying to encourage us that we would build on the foundation, and we'll see that as we continue through this study, is on God's Word. So that we will know the difference between those that are apostate and those that are not. There are a lot of people confused today. In fact, I would suggest to you that the majority of the people in this world are confused. And I would even say some in this room are at times confused, and I'd raise my hand. There are times that's why it's so important to study the Word of God instead of thinking on or outside the box and trying to figure it out on our own. God has given us the Word of God. He's given us the Spirit of God that we might know exactly what the will of God is. Okay, amen. Not used to that, brother. Go ahead. If I was in the pew, I'd do it. So anyway, so we're to build on that foundation. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You'll see here the second place, and actually the next four times it's used. And we know this familiar passage. Paul is writing to the church there at Corinth, and they're having a struggle. And, of course, their struggle is they're trying to follow men instead of Jesus Christ. And this happens a lot of times in churches that we forget that we are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ and we follow some man. And when that happens, often we'll be misled and be misguided and go the wrong directions. But he's talking about this foundation here. Again, in the first eight verses there, you see he's talking about they didn't understand. They weren't in the Word of God enough to know. They had to be fed with milk. They were still carnal, and they really couldn't eat the meat yet because they were following either Paul or Apollos, and they were having a fight over this whole thing. But anyway, in verse 9 says, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But every man taketh heed how he buildeth thereon." So he's talking about building here in verse 10. That's that same word. That's that same word that talks about this rearing up. He says that the foundation is laid. He tells us, he says in verse 11, "For other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Christ, Jesus Christ." So there's our foundation. So every Christian has a foundation. When they put their faith and trust in Christ, their foundation is Jesus Christ. Now, it takes us a long time, a lifetime, to really understand all that means and start building on that. We have choices to make. Every day we have choices on what we want to put on that foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ or our salvation. He says in verse 12, "Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest till the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is." So he's talking about the different choices we can make. The wood, hay, and stubble, the gold, silver, and precious stones. Those things that we would classify as good works and bad works. And as 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8 says, their bad works is really sin. And so he says that we're to build upon. That's what he said in verse 12. That's that word again, build upon. So we've seen that word once, twice, three times, not including Jude, that it's been used. And verse 14 says, "If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward." And so now he's talking about what we put on that foundation makes a difference. And how we build our lives make a difference. As Christians, when we put our faith and trust in Christ, we're no longer the same. Something happens. It should anyway, if you have the Spirit of God in you, right? You're not your own anymore. You're somebody different. You're not the same person. Although, go look in the mirror, you look like the same person, right? But you're not. You're a different person. And why is that? Because now you're a child of God. Prior to that, you were not. And so it makes a difference. And so he tells us and explains, "If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." So what he's explaining here is this is talking about Christians, and it's talking about a judgment that we'll all face, but it's really for rewards. That which is bad, that we didn't use the right materials to build on, that's going to be burned up, suffered, or so as by fire, he says in verse 15. But that which remains is that which is good, that which is something that God will be pleased with. And so he's talking about building. So we want to build our lives on these things. Just like Jude is telling us here that we're to build up these things, okay? And that's what he's saying. We're built upon God. We're built upon his word. And we have the foundation is Jesus Christ. And that's how we get to, as we go through this life, we continue to live this life. But also go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 for a second. Now, Paul is the writer of these books, and he didn't write Jude. But again, you can see, as Jude explained, even the apostles agreed with each other. And again, that's a point to note. Some people think that Peter's salvation is different than Paul's salvation. I don't know where they get that from, but different people think different things, and by the way they interpret or think they interpret Scripture. But here in Ephesians chapter 2, look at verse 18. Or let's begin, verse 18. He says, "For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore we are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." That word household, by the way, is the same root that we get dispensations from, just as we've been studying dispensations. "And are built upon," again, that's that word built upon, same word we see in Jude, "the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." In verse 21 it says, "In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together an habitation of God through the Spirit." So here we're builded upon the Lord Jesus Christ, of course the apostles and the prophets, but we're built together. We're growing together. So individually we're growing, and now we're also growing together as the body of believers that Christ has called us to be. And again, we're building ourselves up in the faith. How are we doing that? By studying the Word of God, finding out what God's will is for our life. That's the most important thing any person can do as a Christian, is to know God's will and be in God's will. Then go ahead and go to Colossians. And we're about done here. In Colossians chapter 2. Verse 6 through 8. And we could read the whole passage, but we're just going to read a couple verses. He says, "As you therefore receive Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk ye in him." That's similar to what Paul wrote in Ephesians when he told us to walk as children of light. When he told us we were children of light, to walk as children of light. It's the same thing. He said, verse 7, "Rooted and builded up in him." So our roots are no longer in this world. Our roots are no longer in the town or the state or the country we live in. Our roots are in Christ. And in our roots now, we start to grow in Christ. And as a picture of a tree, if you will, you see that we're different. And the fruit we're going to bear is different than the fruit we would have bear or would have bore before we were saved. Because now our roots are in Christ. And so we're all rooted in Christ that know Christ as our Savior, those who have been born again and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And he says in that same passage, verse 7, says, "Rooted and builded up in him and established in the faith." So it's something that we are learning to grow in, but not only grow in, not to waver in. We become stable in the faith. We learn something, we practice it. Sometimes we think that we just got to hear things and that's okay. The purpose of hearing the Word of God and growing our faith by the Word of God is that we'll practice the Word of God. That's where the important part is the application. And it comes by faith. It's not always knowing what the next step is. It's just trusting God that He does. And He wants to work in each one of us and build us into this building, if you will, as a unit, as a church, but also individually. He says in that same verse, "Rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." And in verse 8, again, we see the warning. It's over and over. "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." So here, turn back to Jude for a second. He's talking about this very same concept, this same word that's been used 8 times in 7 different verses. He's telling us, Jude himself is, as Paul has mentioned so many times, that he says, "Beloved, building up yourselves on the most holy faith." And so we want to build up our faith. You know, it takes faith to believe God's word. It takes faith to do something for God. You need to believe that what God has called us to do or has shown us in the Word of God, that He will supply and give us the grace to do it. It's not my strength that I can do anything. Paul said that. He said, What did Paul say? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so, again, it's important to remember that, because that's whose strength we need to live this Christian life that God's called us to do. So he's telling us and reminding us, build up yourselves on your most holy faith. And then he says, praying in the Holy Ghost. So here we're our holy faith, or whatever, it's a sacred faith. It's a faith that that's given to us by God, who is holy. And we strive to find out what holiness is. We ought to be digging and looking to find out what that means, because that's who we are. That's Christ has already made us that way, although it's not complete, because we haven't seen Christ yet. We'll be perfect that day we see him. And it's really searching the scriptures. And that holy faith has to do with salvation. It has to do with our sanctification. It has to do with our separation. It's the whole package. 2 Timothy 1:9, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given in Christ Jesus before the world began. So he called us not according to what we want to do, but according to what he wants us to do. And that's our struggle. That's where my struggle is. What does he want me to do? And that's why it's important to find out. And he will show us. As we talk about many times, if God doesn't tell you to move, you stay put. But if he tells you to move, you go. And he will do that through the Word of God. He will show you those things. He'll show you when it's time. And his timing's always right and perfect, because he knows. He knows what's ahead of you. He knows what's going on. He knows where you're to be. Problem is, we want to find that out. And that's, we just stay close to God. And just by obedience, that's doing the will of God, we will know we're right where he wants us to be. Many times I've heard the expression, I've said the expression, hey, it's my life, I'll do what I want. You know, even as a Christian, I've said that sometimes, not really thinking about it, but that's, it happens. And really, we know that the freedoms we have are the freedoms in Christ. That's where our freedom resides. It resides in Christ. It's not the freedom that I think I should have. I have no righteousness. I deserve nothing. What I deserve is death and hell. But Jesus Christ, because of his shed precious blood and the fact that I put my faith and trust in that, he's given me much more. He's given me the abundant life. The life that I can live in the power of Christ. And don't I struggle with that? But once we learn how and we continue to grow in grace, we're going to find out that there are things in our life that may not be the same anymore. It might cost us some things. It might cost us a social standing. If we start following Christ, we may have to change our direction. We may have to change jobs. We may have to do a lot of things, because if it's not the will of God. It can cost our friends. You know, we all have friends, right? And we have friends that are lost and friends that are saved. And sometimes it will cost us our friends to the fact that we no longer can hang with them. It'll cost breaking family ties. Some of you experienced that in this room. Cost you breaking family ties. And really, the world cries out discrimination over and over today, especially when Christians are trying to live according to the Bible. It's funny how everything is flipped upside down. But the Bible has told us that's going to happen. Isaiah told us that which is right is going to be wrong, and that which is wrong is going to be right in the eyes of the world. And we have that today. So as we look at this, Jude is reminding us, and he's trying to help us to be reminded, that we're to live for Christ, to live godly in this world. Titus 2:11 through 14 says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." You see, the world is wanting to be free from God, and we're just in the opposite camp, are we not? We want to draw nigh to God. We want to be more like him, less of what the world wants to be. You see, they want to be free to practice their sin. They want to be free to have no authority. If they only knew that the freedom that they can really have is in Jesus Christ. We're going to close right there, and we'll pick it up next week. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for Jude, who penned these words. And again, we thank you for your love for us, the fact that you sent Jesus to die on the cross for us. We know that he was buried and he rose again. He lives today. And today he told us that when he left, he'd send the Comforter. And today all those born again have the Holy Spirit living inside of them. Help us to yield to that Spirit. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.